All right, sisters and brothers, we are back. We often have to deal with issues of the day, and we do our best to deal with issues of the day and clean the consciousness so that when we continue our endeavor, we are able to do so with a clean and a righteous conscience. Now, this magazine, the Scientific American, A Matter of Time. Now, it's interesting. I've been going through the various articles found in this magazine. Some of the titles: Real Time by Gary Stix, The Mysterious Flow by Paul Davies, Is Time an Illusion by Craig Callender, A Hole at the Heart of Physics by George Musser. These are the articles that I've gotten into thus far. And having recently purchased the 5-volume set of the Theology of Time lecture series by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that he constructed beginning in the month of June of 1972, teaching in the 70s, that which he began teaching in the 30s, that the modern day scientists are only recently coming up to what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years ago. I want to thank, obviously, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and obviously Mother Tineta Muhammad, for it was she, Mother Tineta Muhammad, that reminded me of the work and teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the science of the universe in this Theology of Time lectures. I also need to thank, oh my God, who else? George G.M. James for the book Stolen Legacy. I need to thank again Brother Oba Tshaka, Generation Gap Integration Trap, for The Science of Africa in that book. The Science of Africa in the Stolen Legacy, George G.M. James book. I need to thank Brother Gabriel Oyibo. His book is coming in the mail. The God Almighty Grand Unified Theorem. That book is coming in the mail. He has teachings on the internet in which he, as an African, studied all of the Einstein theories and etc., and studied quantum physics and etc., and put it all together as a God Almighty Grand Unified Theorem. I'd like to thank Brother Booker T. Coleman, whose name now is Hayawata Kaba Kamene. I also like to thank Dr. Phil Valentine, and I forget what his new name is, but Dr. Phil Valentine. For Dr. Phil Valentine said in one of his lectures that time is an actual element, an actual element. And one of these authors in this magazine, The Scientific American, talked about time as made of atoms. And that video presentation of the dark side of time that is in my notes from the month of March, they talked about how time is made up of atoms. Well, if time is made up of atoms, then time is an element in the universe, a scientific element in the universe. In the article, A Hole at the Heart of Physics, George Musser wrestles with the question of, is time an illusion? From whence did time come? Elijah Muhammad taught that time begins with the self-creation of the atom, otherwise known as the birth of the atom out of darkness. The atom is the sun, the yellow ball of fire that we call the sun. That is the atom, the atom, the atom of life, the atom of life. And from the sun, we get the mechanism of the whole universe. After the birth of the sun, out of darkness, we would say dark energy, which is the sacred divine feminine, and dark matter, which is the sacred divine masculine. And we would also say, anti-electron or energy, which is the sacred divine feminine, and anti-matter, which is the sacred divine masculine. Some of these articles talk about, the dark side of time. They talk about how when you study matter and energy, you're looking at present time forward. But when you study anti-matter, anti-energy, anti-proton, anti-electron, anti-particles, you're looking at time. Okay, I don't know. I hit a button. I don't know where the button cut. But when you study anti-particles, anti-matter, you're looking at time in the reverse, or past time, because we are in the present, yet to experience the future, having experienced the past, but we're yet in this one universe. We didn't go anywhere. Where did time come from? Where did it go? The nature of time. All of this within the construct of the science of born again, virgin birth through immaculate conception. Now, Brother George Musser, you see, they're dealing with the unknown to them, that we would call the God question and the goddess question. They want to know, is time and space independent of that which came after time and space? Let me just read some of this article by George Musser and see what we can do. Relativity theory says that the difference cannot be meaningful, meaning the difference in shape. Relativity says that this universe has geometric order. Time-space continuum can be measured, and the nature of the universe, when you look at two falling objects of different size, you would think that the bigger object, being heavier, would land first, falling faster than the light, small object. But gravity draws both objects into the same time-space continuum at the same speed. Therefore, the two objects hit the Earth at the same time, So relativity theory says that the difference between two objects is not meaningful. Therefore, any two such shapes are physically equivalent. Gravity, even though two objects look different, weigh different, have different weights, gravity causes both objects to be physically equivalent and the same. I'm thinking, sisters and brothers, see, all matter comes from the same source. And so it's like gravity says to the two objects, even though you two objects look differently, you look to have two different sizes, you look to have two different weights, I, gravity, will render you the same and equivalent because you come from the same source. The waters of noon are the original source from whence matter comes. See, that's dealing with that reality that the scientists don't want to deal with, because you're dealing with the God-Goddess principle. Continuing with this article, in the late 1980s, philosophers John Ehrman and John D. Norton of the University of Pittsburgh argued that general relativity has startling implications for an old metaphysical question. Do space and time exist independently of stars, galaxies, and other contents, a position known as substantivalism, or are they merely an artificial device to describe how physical objects are related? Relationism, as Norton has written, are they like a canvas onto, are they like a canvas onto which an artist paints? They exist whether or not the artist paints on them, or are they akin to parenthood? There is no parenthood until there are parents and children. All right, so relativity says that the universe has structure and order. So they want to know, is time and space independent of the universe? Which is called substantivalism, meaning does time and space have substance unto itself exclusive of anything outside of time and space? Did time and space originate itself? Or is time and space dependent on another entity? Is time and space artificial? Did time and space come out of another entity? So we're looking at the sun. David told us that we at one time were unborn and unshaped matter, unwrought matter, in the womb of the universe, being formed as members of Christ's mystical body, and that at that time, which was no time, before the birth of the sun, which is our birth, because we are all fire, earth, air, fire, and water, and that sun is the firstborn of creation, the Atum, the Christos. And with Atum is Ma'at, and the two together Atum and Ma'at bring order to the universe. But before the birth of the sun, 4.5 billion years ago, there was no time and space as we know it. There was only the deep. There was only the abyss. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is the period of time before time. So the scientists are struggling with the reality of the sun being born from an original entity, giving power to the sun, empowering the sun to then go back into the waters of Nun. See, we began as water. Yahushua said, born of water, born of the spirit. We must be born again, born of the water, born of the spirit. The water is masculine. The spirit is feminine. We are to go back into the consciousness and become consciously born again of that original reality and follow the process given by David of being unformed matter. And then there's the forming, the work being done by Mother Holy Spirit in her womb, pressing on all of us in every facet of the universe as members of Christ's mystical body being formed, being pressed upon by the spirit energy disposition, prenatal care by Mother Holy Spirit in those waters, in that original reality of the universe before time and space. Only eternity, no front, no back, just eternity, no time, just eternity. This is the God-Goddess principle. This is the God-Goddess reality that the scientists seem to be struggling with. But we, the Africans, tying into the original teaching of the African ancestors of the human family, have no problem. We understand the waters of Nun and the womb of Nonet as the original source, the original, the words descriptive of the original Almighty Father and the Almighty Mother, and the power that they exerted in giving birth to the sun. And then the sun going into those waters, transforming those waters, and rendering those waters, and forming those waters now. Now we're coming into being formed from unformed matter. The sun now forms matter and compacts matter, the waters. And now we have the universe that we have today. And so, if the sun, which is the creator of time and space, is independent, then that is substantivalism. If the sun is dependent on another, then that is relationism. And so we know that the golden sun, shining white light into the seven colors of the rainbow, in between those seven colors is dark energy and dark matter. The dark energy is the sacred divine feminine goddess principle. The dark matter is the sacred divine masculine God, masculine principle. And it's the dark energy, dark matter, the waters of Nun that give the power to the sun so that the sun may do what the sun does in the universe, so that the universe may operate as the universe should operate. Back to the article. He and Ehrman, meaning John Ehrman and John Norton, revisited a long neglected thought experiment of Albert Einstein. Consider an empty patch of space-time. Outside this hole, the distribution of matter fixes the geometry of space-time per the equations of relativity. All right, so you have a patch hole of space-time, and outside the space-time continuum, you have order, you have distribution of matter, you have the geometry of space-time per the equations of relativity. So everything is structured. You have the sun distributing the matter. I thank all of those aforementioned teachers, for they have helped me. I would not be able to understand what these scientists were speaking if it were not for these wonderful teachers that I have mentioned, including Ashra Kwesi and Meriwa Kwesi, who, under the tutelage of Dr. Ben Yakinen, have also given us this African science of born again, virgin birth, immaculate conception under the sign of Virgo. All right, so it's the sun that went into the waters, which is the matter. The waters of noon are the origins of matter. The waters of noon, masculine, and the energy, dark energy, feminine, dark matter, masculine. The sun goes into these entities, into the water, into the energy, and renders those waters. And those waters are distributed as matter in the universe by the sun. And the sun is the cause of the time-space continuum. So that patch, outside of that time-space patch, is order, is geometry, is the distribution of matter. This is relativity. Inside, however, the equations let space-time take on any of a variety of shapes. Space-time behaves like a canvas tent. The tent poles, which represent matter, force the... The tent poles, which represent matter, force the canvas to assume a certain shape. If you leave out a pole, however, creating the equivalent of a hole, part of the tent can sag or bow out or ripple unpredictably in the wind. A similar ambiguity arises everywhere, not just in holes. Now, I've been struggling and working with this all week, and just now, you have the time-space patch. You have holes or poles, P-O-L-E-S, poles in the patch. Four poles, we'll say, like this article. These poles represent matter. You take a pole out, there's disorder, there's chaos. What is this saying? Let's go back to the sun. Let's go back to the sun, sisters and brothers. That sun is the creator of time-space continuum. The sun, the golden sun, shines white light into the seven colors of the rainbow. But in between the seven colors of the rainbow is black, is dark energy, dark matter. These are the poles. We're going to say six poles, although the article used an example of four poles. We're going to say six poles. These poles, dark energy, dark matter, in between the seven colors of the rainbow. Or maybe there are eight poles. Maybe there's a pole on either side and then six in between. Or is there seven? Is it eight poles? So you have a pole on either side and then a pole in between each color of the rainbow. So I'm thinking that's eight. And so the poles represent the waters of Nun. Dark energy, dark matter. Dark energy is the sacred divine feminine, that mother energy that presses on the dark matter, the masculine charge, I should say. Dark energy, the negative charge, pressing on the dark matter, the positive charge, creating energy. This is in between the colors of the rainbow, causing the sun to operate in the correct manner and fashion, and the sun regulating the universe because of the waters of Nun, and which the waters of Nun are the dark matter, and the dark energy is that energy that buttresses the waters, causing the golden sun to shine the white light into the seven colors of the rainbow. And in Psalm 139, we saw how colors were in the womb. And so, if you take those poles out, then there's disorder and there's chaos. You see, the scientist is dealing with the God-Goddess principle. So the scientist said, outside of the patch is order and structure and geometry, but inside the patch is that which is unpredictable, is variety. Well, Psalm 139, David talks about the colors inside of the womb before the birth of the sun. We, as colors and every facet of the universe, were being formed in the womb of the universe under dark energy, which is the mother principle, as the waters, which is the father, the masculine principle, inside the time-space patch. We were being formed. We were unformed matter, but we were being formed, and the varieties of the universe were there. Every color, every facet, every part and parcel of the universe was right there in that womb being formed. So when the scientist says inside the patch there is variety, and then when you take the pole out, then the time-space patch doesn't function correctly, that's talking about the fact that dark energy, dark matter, in between the seven colors of the rainbow, causes the sun to function properly, causes the universe to function properly. Take out the dark energy, dark matter, then there's disorder, there's chaos. That's the God principle and the Goddess principle that the modern day scientist struggles with. Further, the thought experiment poses a dilemma. If the continuum is a thing in its own right, substantivalism, general relativity must be indeterministic, that is, descriptive of the world, that is, its description of the world must contain an element of randomness. So if time-space exists on its own, independent of anything, then there is not order in the universe, there is not order in relativity. There is randomness. But for the theory of relativity to be correct, there must be deterministic. For the theory to be deterministic, space-time must be a mere fiction, as relationism holds. So what this is saying, once again, is that when you get to the reality of the universe in reality, time and space are not independent. That sun did not originate itself. That sun is Christ. That sun is Atum. Atum, Christ, Christos, the sun, is the firstborn of creation. Born out of darkness, so taught the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. The scientists need to go to Elijah. The scientists need to go to Africa and understand that the waters of Noon and the womb of Narnet, representing the waters and the spirit that Jesus told us about in St. John chapter 3, the masculine and the feminine gave birth to Atum. And Atum, which is the S-U-N, and Atum has a feminine counterpart, Ma'at. And these two, because Gemini tells you that the sun is masculine and feminine, Gemini tells you you have Atum and you have Ma'at. And these two, being the firstborn out of darkness, out of dark energy, dark matter, now go about bringing order to the universe. So inside the time-space patch is variety, all manner of factors that seem to be indeterminate. That is because inside that original womb, the waters are everything that we have in the universe and all the varieties and shapes and colors and etc. And so now Ma'at and Atum draw on those waters. Atum physically draws on those waters, and Ma'at, the sacred divine feminine, she represents the means by which, after drawing on the waters, Atum brings order to the universe. And so Ma'at is truth, justice, righteousness, order, balance, reciprocity. And so scientists, you must come to grip with the God-Goddess principle. You must come to grip with the African science of born again, virgin birth, immaculate conception. You must come to grip with the dark energy, dark matter, the dark energy, the spirit, the mother principle, the goddess, and the father as the waters, the sacred divine masculine principle, giving birth to the golden sun to shine the white light into the seven colors of the rainbow. But in between the seven colors of the rainbow, dark energy, dark matter, the waters of Noon, the energy of Narnet, causing the sun to be able to, empowering the sun to bring order to the universe out of all the variety and differences that we know were in the womb. Not that there was distinction to be made that one would be over the other, but everything outside on this side of the waters of Noon was inside the waters of Noon and the womb of Narnet. So all of this variety, all of the shapes, all of the sizes, all of the colors were there in the womb. So in that time-space patch, all this variety, all the part and parcels of the universe, and on this side of the time-space continuum, the sun empowered to bring order and bring tranquility and bring peace. So, relativity, sun, time-space continuum, not substantivalism, but relationism, born out of darkness, related to the whole of the universe on this side of the universe. All of us born out of that same darkness. All of us born out of that same womb. All of us coming from those same waters. So Yahushua wants that we go back into that science so that we may understand how to be born again through virgin birth, immaculate conception, so that we may create the kingdom of God, queendom of God that's in heaven here and now on this earth. So, let me see if I can find Bob Marley so that we may close this session out with some Bob Marley and the Wailers. I should have had Bob up already, but that's how we do it today. We deal with life and we keep moving. And so we say Jah love and Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah Rastafari Selassie people.